for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Hovered over the surface of the deep. Darkness hovered over the surface of the deep. However, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. Darkness. Darkness is kind of a scary thing. Some of you are very thankful we have some ambient light from outside, aren't you? Because some of you up in the balcony who can't see anything are really nervous right now. Darkness can be scary. Darkness. Now, the original hearers of this text, that's Genesis 1, verse 1, they know that the author is talking about darkness like we are encountering right now, but there's also a sense of darkness being more than just the lack of light. There's a darkness sometimes that impacts the soul. And so the Hebrew hearer of Genesis chapter 1 would wonder, what does the Bible say about the darkness that haunts? And I think some of you know what that is, because some of you have been or currently are living in that dark place. Darkness. The 16th century Spanish mystic, St. John of the Cross, would write a poem called The Dark Night of the Soul, Darkness. It's a scary place. Can you imagine what life would be like without light? Imagine. And quite frankly, you could only imagine it because life without light would cease to exist. If the sun were to stop shining, you would have 8.5 minutes to enjoy the last rays, for it takes the sun's rays 8.5 minutes to get here. Did you know that? If you knew that, raise your hand. Okay, somebody raise your hand. I can't see anybody raising their hand. 8.5 minutes left if the sun were to stop shining. And after that 8.5 minutes, the Earth's temperature would drastically and quickly plunge to minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Soon thereafter, our atmosphere would freeze and fall on us. This is going to blow your mind. Did you know that the average cumulonimbus cloud weighs 60 tons? Frozen, falling, no light. And after all that, the Earth's temperature would stabilize at minus 400 degrees Fahrenheit. The thought of life without light is scary. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is followed by another verse. Now, I have to tell you right now, if you're new to the river, we're glad you're here. Often we use the lights while we preach. And if you're hearing some noises to my left, your right, that's our buddy Billy. Billy has autism, so if you're wondering what that is, that's what it is. Now you can put your mind to rest. Say to yourself, mind, be at rest. Fortunately, in the beginning, darkness doesn't continue, because the next verse says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Ooh. There was light. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are jealous of my flashlight. And God said, let there be light. And when God said, let there be light, and there was light, this is the first instance in Earth's history where God intervened with planet Earth. Before God, no light. But when God intervened, there was light. And when God brought light to planet Earth, he enabled this thing that we all love called life to happen. Light leads to life. You see, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, warmth happened. Photosynthesis happened. Our atmosphere happened. None of these things would happen without light, and without these things, there would be no life. Now, wouldn't it be a bummer to not have life? Wouldn't it be a bummer to not have light? Now, the Hebrew folks would know that the darkness referenced a state of the soul more than just a physical darkness. They also would understand that life coming from light was more than simple biology. How many times have we quoted that Ezekiel 47:9, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Living creatures will live is a redundancy, because you can be alive, draw breath, but not really be alive. But where the light of God shines, there's life. Life. Wouldn't it be a bummer to go through life living without the light? Now, in Michigan, we're one of the leading states for this horrible thing called seasonal affective disorder, appropriately acronymed SAD. Again, if you've heard of it, raise your hand. How come you're not raising your hand, people? Seasonal affective disorder. It happens to the individual when the brain doesn't get enough light. And what happens is a particular form of depression where anxiety rises, believe it or not, susceptibility to colds increases, drive and purposeness decreases, irritability, anger. I'm wondering if any of you are sitting next to somebody whom this describes. But maybe what you ought to wonder is if you see that person in the mirror. Life without light is sad. But God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, we are in week 4 in our 783-week series on the Gospel of John, where we let the guy named John, who didn't just write a book, he wrote his life story, is what the gospel is. It's an eyewitness account. He didn't write this by faith. God told me what happened. He wrote what he saw. And in describing the one that he called Savior, John would say this about Jesus. In him, this is John chapter 1, verse 5. In him was life. And that life was the light of all humanity. That light, Jesus, shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not, will not, never will overcome it. Verse 9 says, and the light that was given to everyone, somebody say everyone, has entered the world. Light, and his name is? Balcony, his name is? The light that gives light to all the world has entered the world. And his name is Jesus. The parallels to John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 are not by coincidence. They are by design. Because John, our author, was a Hebrew man, and he knew all that it said back in the old book. And he understood all of the imagery around light and God's beginning intervention into the world. And so when John calls Jesus light, he's saying something strong, because he knew that our forefather and foremother, Adam and his wife Eve, when they walked in disobedience, they brought darkness into the world. So when John says, in him was life, and that life was light to all humanity. He is actually saying something that us non-Hebrews might miss. He's saying the stuff of Adam and Eve, the sin that has haunted humanity for thousands of years. And let's just stop right there. And notice the nice shadow puppets on the wall. Those are awesome. That's not why I paused, actually. I got distracted. Let us stop right there. I was saying that John intuitively knew that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they brought darkness into the world. So when he said, let there be light, he was saying something. But before I get to the something he was saying, I want to pause. And I want to ask you, have you ever had your sin bring darkness into your life? And I'm wondering if you've ever had the sin of others bring darkness to your life. You see, that's what sin does. When we walk apart from God, when others walk away from God, they walk away from the light. And when we walk away from the light, darkness ensues. And darkness, as we've already established, is a scary thing. There are people in this room, and you know who you are, who've been horribly impacted by darkness. And John knew this was true of humanity. He knew that darkness impacted people negatively. And so he was saying something to us through the centuries when he said, and in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He was saying that Jesus is the light that brings life. As the sun that God created way back when brought warmth and the ability to live, he is saying that Jesus is the source of life and Jesus is the reason of life and Jesus gives everybody the potential to live, not just live by breathing, but live by thriving. Life. Now, maybe it's too dark for you to find your hands and clap on that. But when we say yes to Jesus, not the Jesus that has erroneously been portrayed by stupid preachers like me and mistaken Christians like us, but the Jesus who, verse 9 says, the light is for everyone. And you remember our teachings the first 3 weeks? The grace of Jesus, it's grace upon grace. There's like grace with sugar on top. That grace is given to, as we looked at the last couple weeks, to all, is it A, who strive and work and try harder? Is it given to people who pull themselves up by their own bootstraps? Or does the Bible say to all who simply receive and believe? You see, the light that John talks about that brings life, it's a gift. Somebody say, Merry Christmas. And last week, I remember sharing this stupid imagery of a parent giving a gift to the kid and saying, hey, I hope you enjoyed that. That'll be $50. That's not the gift of the light of Jesus, the gift of light that dispels the darkness. It's a free gift to all who would receive. And so maybe some of you are tired of living in darkness. Maybe you're like, I'm tired of darkness overwhelming. I'm telling you, there's a light that the darkness cannot overcome. That's what John says in 1:5, John chapter 1, verse 5. The darkness has not overcome it. And the language there, if you did a little language study by way of Google, you would see that it's an ongoing type action. And that's why I said the darkness has not, will not, and never will overcome the light of Jesus Christ. There's your hands. There they are. And so maybe today is the day that you enter into a seed-level discipleship. It's the vernacular of the river. If you've never said yes to this light and you're tired of living in darkness, maybe you say, you know, I want to, just like a seed is planted, I want that seed to be planted in me, and you become a disciple of the light. Maybe if you've been living the seed life for a while, maybe it's time to up the ante in growing and owning your own growth and put some effort in so that you might study, might learn, might pray and encounter God in ways that you haven't and let the light shine a little deeper so that you might become a root-type disciple. And if you've already been kind of at that root level discipleship, maybe it's time for you to add some of the spiritual disciplines of prayer and fasting and worship and generosity and service so that your root-like discipleship can grow into a tree-like discipleship. Maybe it's time for you to own your own growth. Now, forgive me for this. And I only say forgive me because I think Christy would want me to say that. And she's in the nursery today. I like Walking Dead. Anybody else? Okay, it's a little sad that you're more excited about Walking Dead than the other good things I've been saying. But that's okay. It's a good show. I love it. So Zeke and I watch it almost every Sunday night when it's on. It comes back 2 weeks from tonight, mid-season break. You ever notice, those of you who are Walking Dead fans, that Rick will go into a room that's filled with darkness, and he starts over here, and he shines his light in the room. And once this room is clean, once he takes care of the darkness therein, and it's kind of gross what he does to take care of the darkness. Those zombies are nasty. That's why I like it. Once that room is clean, you know what he does? He moves to the next room. And he shines his little flashlight. And he looks for darkness. Oh, there, pow! And he takes care of that darkness. And then once this room is clean and that room is clean, you know what he does? Rick moves to the next room. And then once that is clean, he moves to the next one. And the next one. And I'm saying to myself, who knew that The Walking Dead gives us a beautiful analogy of what Jesus Christ wants to do with his light in our lives? You see, there are times when we can only handle one room at a time being cleaned. And the light of the Lord shines in that one room. And it might take some time for the light to shine to get rid of all the zombie junk in there. But the beauty of this life is there are rooms that we don't even know we have that someday the Lord is going to shine his light in and bring freedom. And so I'm wondering if this light, who's the life, I wonder if there's new rooms that he's wanting to shine his light on. And remember what I said about wondering last week? I don't really wonder. It's just my way of including you to wonder with me. Everybody wonder, I know who God is. He's got light for you that you don't even know because there's darkness for you in your world that you don't even know. You know, when we come to Christ, the biggies get shined on first. Stop stealing. You know, the biggies. But the more we grow in our discipleship, the more the light shines, the more he reveals those things that we didn't even know were issues. And I wonder if any of you are like me. No, I really am wondering this one. You know, I've been a believer forever and I'm like, wow, I feel like I would be totally free from junk by now. You ever feel that way? You see, that's the grace of the Lord because he wants to shine his light in every single room of your life so that it is more and more and more holy. So what is the room that the Lord wants to shine his light in today? Is anybody getting dizzy? What is the room that the Lord wants to shine his light on right now? Is it the room of your anger? Is it the room of your addiction? Is it the room of your worry? I said worry. And some of you are like, oh, just talk about addiction because I don't have an addiction. But when I say worry, you're like, oh, crap. Did you know that worry is an ungodly thing? Is it the room of your fear? Is it the room of your insecurity? See, the life that is the light to all humanity, wants to shine in every room eventually throughout your life. And it's a gracious life. It's a free light. It's not a mean one. It's gracious. This is a little harsh on the eyes. That's not the way the Lord works. Sometimes it feels harsh because when the Lord reveals darkness, ooh, it stings just like this stings your eyes. But it's a good thing. Now, John would say, in him was life. And that life was the light of all humanity. And that light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He would say the light that gives light to everyone in the world has come into the world. Jesus is here. So if Jesus is the light, what do you think it means for those who claim to be his disciples, his followers? What does he think it means for the followers of Jesus if he's the light? Any guesses? Go ahead and answer. Who said we are the light? Yeah. Is anybody napping, by the way? See, Jesus in another place in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, he would say this. You. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. He would go on to say, this Jesus who's the light of the world, he would go on to say, neither do we light a lamp and put it under a basket. He'd say, no, we would put it on a stand so that it gives light to the entire house. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, wouldn't it be neat if somebody 10, 15 years ago created these devices that acted as phones that actually had flashlights on them and we could use today while you're sitting out there to help make this sermon hit home? Wouldn't it be nice if there was such a thing that you all could just pull out and light right now? Gosh, that would be nice. There we go. There we go. You are the light of the world. Now, Layla helped me get the girls back in place. Can you imagine, like, all those girls running and all the lights go off? So thank you, Layla. Would you take care of this one? There's your light. You can keep that. You are the light of the world. Here, your hand is empty. You can have this one. There you go. Yeah. You are the light of the world. He would continue in that passage in the Sermon on the Mount. So let your light so shine that others may see it and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine. Here's what I know about this light that you're holding in your hand. Light is, well, it's contagious. If you're an older person and can't figure out how to do the flashlight on your phone, ask the young person next to you. I'm not calling anybody out or anything. Here's what I know about that light that you're holding. It's contagious and people are drawn to it. People are drawn to light. And when the light that's in you is Jesus, they're drawn to Jesus when they're drawn to the light within you. There's that hand again. You know where it is? Yeah, clap for that. See, here's the deal. Light draws people. You've been around long enough to know that one of my hobbies is backpacking, and I got some stories for you. I remember Max and I, when he was 16, he's now 18, he and I and his buddy Nick, we went backpacking in the Smoky Mountains. It was a rather burly trail. We got down there in good time, collected firewood, and as the evening was, you know, drawing on us, a dad and three young boys came down. Now, what was clear is that dad had bitten off more than they could chew with these three young boys, and these young boys were whipped because the trail was rather tough. They set up their tents, and they collapsed until we had our fire going. And in their tired stupor, they saw the light of our fire. And they were drawn. And the dad said, can we sit by your light? I'm thinking of the summer before that when I took the three boys, Jake, Max, and Zeke, and their buddy Clayton up to Grand Isle off the coast of Munising. We'd hiked around the island. We're in the middle of nowhere overlooking the north. It's on the north coast overlooking Lake Superior. You don't see anything but Lake Superior. It's just the most beautiful place. No one's around. We lit a fire on the beach. And a young couple that was new to backpacking saw our fire from hundreds of yards away at their little campsite. And they made their way towards us and they said, hey, can we sit by your light? You see, light is contagious. And light draws people. I'm going to say that again. Please listen to the sequence of the sentence. Light is contagious, and light draws people. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Light is contagious. Light draws people. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Now we're going to end the service just a smidge differently. Y'all did great, by the way. Nobody freaked out, really. Thank you. If you need prayer of any kind, our prayer team will be right where I'm at after the lights come back on. After the lights come back on, if this is your church home and you're a follower of Christ, don't forget your joy boxes. Are you ready to end this teaching of the day? I need a little more response than that. Yeah. So as you grow in owning your own growth, don't forget your journal. Don't forget your Notability app. Don't forget to grow in owning your own growth by taking notes. We're going to still be in chapter 1 next week. So read John chapter 1 again. And you sing out your benediction. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.